I would like you to open your Bibles to the book of Genesis. We're going to be looking at chapter 18, verses 1 through 15. If you don't have your Bibles, there's one right there in the pew, and it can be found on page 24 of the Pew Bible. That's Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 15. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre, where he was while he was sitting at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and then you may wash your feet and rest under the tree. Let me get you something to eat so that you can be refreshed and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." So Abraham quickly, he hurried into his tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three seahs of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected the choice, tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set them before the men. While they ate, he stood near them under the tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There, in the tent," he said. Then the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abram, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at this point next year, at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." This is the word of the Lord. Is anything too hard for the Lord? That's a question that we need to ask ourselves. Is anything too hard for God? Abraham and Sarah have spent 24 years trying to follow the Lord, believing at least at some level that the Lord was going to keep the promise, that he was going to give Abraham the child that he had been promising. But come on, Abraham is now 99 years old and Sarah is 89 years old. How is this going to happen? Today's scripture is looking at an interesting time in their lives. Right now, it's the time of day where they're at home. They're doing what they normally would have done, staying out of the heat, and the Lord came to them. Scriptures say the Lord appeared to Abraham near the great tree of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance of his tent because of the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I found favor, sit with me and eat with me." And I know I'm paraphrasing. But he said, "Let me get you something to eat before you go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." So he hurried off. He went to Sarah. He told her to get flour. He kneaded it into bread. He went and got a calf, cut it up. He got curds and brought the meat and everything to these servants under the tree to serve them. This is the second time during this series that we've run into something like this. The Lord appeared to Abram, right here in the scripture. Many speculate that this was Jesus and that the two other men with him were angels of the Lord. We also saw that the Lord appeared to Hagar when she had run away. It was the angel of the Lord. And if you remember what I said, many scholars state that they believe it could have been Jesus who appeared to her. So now we have the possibility of Jesus appearing not just to Hagar, but appearing to Abraham and Sarah at their tent. And if this happens to be Jesus who appeared to Abraham, then in a real sense, Abraham is looking into the eyes of the promised child through whom all the nations will be blessed. In a real sense, if this is Jesus, Abraham is looking into the eyes of his own descendants. But even more importantly, if this is Jesus, it puts a different twist on Jesus saying to the Pharisees before Abraham, I am. Yes, we know that Jesus is the Lord. Yes, we believe that Jesus is God. But if Jesus really walked and talked to Abraham, it puts a whole new meaning on that saying that even Abraham looked forward to the coming of Jesus. But whether Abraham knew it or not, and whether this was Jesus or the angel of the Lord, we have Abraham looking into the eyes of someone. We have Abraham looking into the eyes of his Savior. And at least from this point in Scripture, Abraham doesn't get it yet. Much like a lot of us don't get it when the Lord comes to us, when the Lord sees us. And Abraham doesn't get it, which to me is surprising. Abraham is doing what many people would have done at that time, especially during the heat of the day. He's sitting in the shade. He's taking a break, and all of a sudden, three men show up out of nowhere. And he gets up. He greets them and invites them to sit and eat. He wants to show them the full measure of Eastern hospitality. He prepares a meal. He gets water to wash their feet, and he asks them to come sit down with them. Immediately, he recognizes that these three people are special, which is why he addresses the man as Lord. And whether or not this is Jesus whom Abraham is talking to, it should remind us of a few things that Jesus said. You fed me. You clothed me. You gave me shelter. As the body of Christ, we are called to follow in Jesus' example, and that is to take care of those who are around us. Who is our neighbor? Jesus was asked this. And our neighbor is anyone who is around us. We are called to go out and serve those as our Lord Jesus went out and served. We're called to love those as Jesus loved those. And this weekend, a few members from Parkman, they joined in on Go Day. Go Day has been going on now for about 10 years. We have a sign out in front of the church that will be coming down tomorrow because Go Day's over, and I don't want the town to yell at me for having a permanent sign. But the idea, yeah, Kevin. But the idea of Go Day, as I've mentioned over the previous weeks, is to show the community the love of Christ. It's for us as believers to get together, pushing aside our differences theologically and serving. And this is so important because for far too long, churches have been behind the scenes fighting one another. They've been trying to gain members from other churches. They're trying to steal members from other churches. And they fight over theology. Is theology important? Yes, most definitely. But as I hopefully have gotten across, if we don't walk alongside our brothers and sisters in the Lord, how will any of us ever grow in the Lord and understand more about the Lord? How will we ever notice if something that we are doing is wrong, or for that matter, if something that we are doing is actually anti-scriptural? Galatians pointed out this summer as we were going through it, the fact that any other gospel but the gospel of Christ Jesus is no gospel at all. And to walk alongside our brothers and sisters, it only strengthens us. Not just as individual churches, but as the body of Christ. And Go Day is just one way we can show our community the love of Christ. Go Day is just one way our community can see the light of the Lord in their midst. It's just one day we can break down that decades-old perception that those who go to church are just hypocrites. Because the non-church, they don't like the church. We're looked at negatively by so many because we don't show the love of Christ to the world. We're looked at negatively by so many because we fight with other churches. We act like we're holier than thou when in all actuality we're just hypocrites, which is sad because even with our many differences, all churches, all followers of Christ can fall on the fact that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to the Father except by Him. We can all fall on the fact that we are all sinners in need of a Savior, and that Savior happens to be Christ. which is why this section of Scripture is so important for us to look at. God has come to Abraham many times over this 20-year period. God has come to him reminding him that he's going to have a son and that offspring will bless the nations. And while God has tested Abraham many times, God asked Abraham to leave everything he ever knew. God tested Abraham with famine. He tested Abraham with Pharaoh, with Hagar, with his own wife. And during all of this, Abraham has stayed faithful even during the times where he was questioning God. Even during the times when he kept failing, he stayed faithful. And this shows us that God desires for us to have a relationship with him. He comes to us where we are. And that means that we need to be ready for him at any time, at all times. Because a relationship with the Lord means more than just acknowledging the fact that there is a God. It means being involved. It means being involved with God on an intimate level, but also being involved with the Lord on his mission. God has a mission to show a lost and dying world his love. And Abraham's example here is just one way that we can be ready to imitate God. When seeing someone in our sphere of influence who might be struggling, and we just sit down and talk with them, spending time with that person. Because just maybe, as Jesus said, when you fed them, when you clothed them, when you gave rest to the least of these, you were doing it for me. And in this instance, Abraham really was doing it for the Lord. Where is your wife, Sarah? They asked him. They're in the tent, he said. And so then they go down to talk about how Sarah over the next year is going to conceive and she's going to have a child. And Sarah's listening to this conversation on the other side of the tent and she's laughing. I'm really this old. God can't provide. And we were discussing this morning in Sunday school the difference between Abraham's laughing at God last week in chapter 17 versus Sarah's laughing. Abraham's laughing last week that we see is more of, really, God, you're going to do this for me? I'm old, but you're going to do it? He's laughing at God, with God, how do you want to say it? Versus this kind of laughing where Sarah's behind the tent, behind the door, laughing at God, and it's more of a laugh of disbelief. It's not the same kind of laughing because at the end, the Lord confronts her. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, I did not laugh. And the Lord said, yes, you did laugh. The Lord here, he's on a mission. If you continue to read, you'll notice that this is the exact time when God and the angels are on their way to Sodom and Gomorrah to bring down fire and brimstone. But he stopped by to see Abraham. He stopped to test Abraham, but he also stopped to bless Abraham and to continue fulfilling the promise. And when they were sitting down, the Lord asked about the wife. The reason we know Abraham didn't fully get the fact that at the beginning of this conversation, this was God because of how he treated God, how he respected God, but didn't quite get it. But here we see that he's starting to get a clue that this person is more than just some noble lord. Because during this time, it was custom for the wife to prepare food for travelers, but it was also custom for her to stay out of sight. And all of a sudden, this person, this traveler who does not know Abraham, well, at least Abraham didn't think he did, all of a sudden, these men look at him and they said, where is your wife, Sarah? Men who should not have known Sarah's name are looking at him and saying, where is your wife? They addressed her by name, which was not normal, and it wasn't even customary, and it was against proper protocol for someone who was a visitor to address your wife, which is a sign to Abraham that there's more going on here than he initially thought. He should have said, these guys are showing up out of nowhere. And yeah, while they appeared to be noble, they showed up out of nowhere. But when they said his wife's name, I'm not saying that Abraham didn't get it yet, but his eyes might be opening a little bit wider. So he responds with, she's in the tent, which is when the Lord finally states why he's here. Last week we read about the covenant of circumcision. Abraham was 99 years old when it finally happened. But Abraham was also 99 years old when the Lord changed his name. Up to this point, God had been calling him Abram. And then he said, no, your name is now Abraham. There was one incident where he addressed Hagar. Up to this point, we've had Abraham being the one that God is talking with, the one that God is interacting with. Abraham, from the time they left Ur, was the one associating with God. There's this one time where he does meet Hagar out in the village, but for the last 24 years, Sarah's been left out of the picture. Sarah's been not acknowledged at all through all this. It's been Abraham, it's been Hagar, but now we see the Lord coming and addressing her. The Lord doesn't just want Abraham to know that he's going to fulfill the promise. He wants Abraham and Sarah to know that he's going to fulfill the promise. And she laughs. She laughs, which is different than last week's. Chapter 17, verse 17 says, Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? The laughter that we witness Sarah doing here is not of the same sort. Abraham was laughing out of the fact that the Lord was right there. And the Lord was saying, you're 99 years old and you're going to have a kid. Abraham was laughing at the ridiculous notion that he would be having a child at his age. But it wasn't a laughter of unbelief. It was more of, really, God? Really, you're going to give me this child? And you can tell this by the interaction he was having with the Lord based on the scriptures. Versus this week, here we have Sarah laughing because she really doesn't believe it. You could argue and say that the laughter was no different, but all you have to do is look down a few more verses and you can realize that it is different. Verse 15, you see that Sarah was afraid, so she lied. Abraham had no problem laughing. When you realize the blessing the Lord has placed on all who believe, sometimes you just can't help but sit back and laugh. Sometimes you can't help but sit back and let it out. Laughter is contagious. It relieves stress, at least the kind of laughter we see Abraham doing. But the type of laughter we see Sarah doing is harmful. Her laughter is almost sarcastic. Her laughter is unbelief, and unbelief is sin. For Abraham, it was starting to click. They were starting to get the fact that God was right there in the midst. So they were potentially meeting Jesus face to face. And when he called out Sarah for laughing, she knew she was in trouble, which is why she lied. She didn't believe God, which is why unbelief is so bad, because it leads us to other sins. First, she didn't just not believe the Lord. She also lied to the Lord. And by the way, the Lord talked with Abraham. We see that unbelief is not taken lightly by God. God says, is anything too hard for the Lord? This is why we need to desperately ask ourselves if we really trust in God. We need to truly look deep inside ourselves and ask, do I trust you, Lord? Have I put all my faith in you? What am I keeping from you? Remember, no one's perfect. Paul calls himself the chief of sinners, and there is nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong because Paul was honest to himself, meaning Paul was honest to God. Paul, like Abraham, realized that he had problems, realized that there were things in his life that he hadn't quite given up to God. There were these things called sin, and God hates sin. But the Lord loves his creation so much that he came to earth and gave his life on the cross so that we might be made pure in his eyes. This is why we have to continually run to the Lord. There are too many Christians out there who are like rhinos. Y'all probably know that term. Republican in name only. But Christians are sinos. I was trying to figure out how to do this. Christians in name only. They don't believe in the Lord. They might have knowledge of God. They might have even read the scriptures a few times. But they don't know God. They don't have an intimate relationship with the Creator of all. And that just might be because they've never been shown the love of Christ. Or it might be because they just don't care. The truth is, it isn't for us to judge them. Judgment is only done by the Lord on the final day. But it is our job to love them like Christ loves them. It's our job to bring the gospel to them, to open their eyes to the ways of the Lord. And we can only do that with Scripture. We can only do that if we truly have a relationship ourselves with the Lord. And I don't know, I think I've mentioned it here in the past, but one way we have an understanding, a true relationship with the Lord, is reading Scripture. And I remember back when I was working with that UCC church, the church in Swampscott, our church was split down the middle. Half of us were evangelicals, half of us were liberals. And I know I was called there. I was called there because of the mentoring I received from the pastor who had been there. God used Dean in ways that I don't think anyone will ever understand until that day Dean is standing before the Lord. God used Dean to show me what it meant to love a congregation, to love them like God loves them. But it was there that I finally learned that it is easier sometimes to look at the church and say, you're no different than the world. To look at the church and say, this is a missions field, meaning we just need to teach the Scriptures. Which is why when Dean retired, the new pastor came in, I had a major crisis in faith. To have someone come up to me and say, I'm not allowed to use the Bible to teach, it just seemed impossible. We need to have the Scriptures. We need to see how people have failed in the Scriptures from day one, because we need to see how since day one God has desired a relationship with us. And we need to ask ourselves that question, do I really believe? Do I really trust Him? Are we willing to love the body of believers as God loves the body of believers? GoDay is great way for all of us to come together and serve one another. It's a great way for us to come together and build relationships with one another. And I hope those that participated this weekend have a new excitement for walking alongside our brothers and sisters in the faith, worshiping the Lord together, serving alongside one another. When I was accepted, when I accepted the call to Parkman congregation, I think it was Scott, maybe it was Jim, I don't remember who, they'll probably come to me and talk to me after this. But one of them gave me Bob Barber's number and asked me to contact him. He's our area rep for the Four C's. When I called Bob, one of the questions I asked was, is there a gathering of pastors in the Parkman area who are not congregationalists? Not just congregationalists. I want to work with congregationalists, I love the Four C's, but I also want to work with people who are of other Christian backgrounds, Baptists, Catholics, Methodists, AG, Independents, all those. And I told Bob, I said, if there's not one of these church groups around, I will start it. And Bob came back to me and said, Will, I have just the thing for you. We meet every week. There are a lot of pastors. There's Bob and I who are from the Four C's. We have the Nazarenes meeting, the Methodists, the Mennonites, the Assembly of God, and even a non-denominational church. And the excitement I have when I meet with these guys, because they desire for the body of Christ to be one. They desire for the body of Christ to act together in this community, to be a shining light of the love of the Lord for this community. The excitement's just, it's on fire. Yeah, there are some things we disagree on, but we agree on what's important. We agree on the fact that Christ is all we need. And yeah, I do joke with them. I go to them and tell them that they need to understand Reformed theology. They need to become Reformed because it's the only real theology. But aside from that, we all understand that Christ is more important. I understand for the body of Christ to fulfill the Great Commission, we need to be working with one another. We need to be walking alongside our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We need to stop fighting and we need to start acting like the body. We need to do exactly what Abraham is doing here. We need to do what Jesus said. We need to feed them, clothe them, give them shelter, visit them. Because as you were doing all this for them, you were doing it for me. And that is exactly what we did this weekend. We served those who needed it. Not because it makes us any better, than anyone else around us. But because we desire to be like Christ, we did this because we desire to follow Christ. We desire to fulfill the Great Commission because God always keeps his promise. For Abraham, that meant a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman were about to have a child that they'd been waiting 25 years for. They listened and they obeyed God, which for them meant giving God everything they had. And even though there were trials that Abraham had, even though his faith was questioned at times, he still said, "Lord, I'm going to follow you." And as we will see over the next 2 weeks, his faith paid off. He had a son, which led to descendants as numerous as the stars, but it also led to the offspring that through whom all nations will be blessed because he had faith. But more importantly, because nothing is too hard for the Lord. And as we are winding down this morning, I would like to challenge everyone here with that. Do we really trust the Lord with our all? Are we like Abraham, where we question things, but it's okay? Because in the end, we really are going to follow God. Or are we like Sarah here, laughing sarcastically because we really just don't believe God can do it? Because we don't truly trust the Lord. And I say we have to ask ourselves this because I have to ask myself this question as well at times. I know I can say that most of the time I am following the Lord, but then there are those days when the headache hits, when the stress comes, and like many of you, during those days, our relationship with the Lord, well, in our minds at least, they're questioned. We question if we're really following God. The blessing to that is if we're questioning, we already know the answer. We are following God. It is good for us to know that the man of faith himself struggled. It gives us assurance that the Lord is in charge. It gives us encouragement to go on, and even when we fail, even if we fail all the time, God is still faithful. God is still keeping his promise. He's still in charge because nothing is too hard for him. But do you trust him? The truth is, it's hard. It's hard to trust God at times. But that is why the community of faith is so important. It is why we are called to be there for one another, to clothe one another when needed, to feed those who need it, to give shelter to those who need it. But the community of believers is also there for us to give a shoulder in time of need. As a follower of Christ, every one of us has times when we struggle. And that is the blessing we have been left with. It's one of the blessings. We have a community of faith who's going to stand there next to us when we're struggling. We have a community of faith that gets it, that cares about us, that wants to encourage us, that wants to show us the love of the Lord. And hopefully the community of faith loves the Lord with all their mind, heart, soul, and strength. Because it's okay for us to ask the question. There is nothing wrong with us going to the Lord and saying, "Why, God? Why?" I mean, how many times a day does my daughter come up to me and say, "Why?" Honestly, it gets old. It even gets annoying. But I always answer her. Unless I've already answered her. And I look back at her and say, "No, you tell me why." And then she tells me the answer. Sometimes when we're struggling, sometimes when we have the questions, we already know the answer. God doesn't give us the answer straight to our faces because he looks back at us and says, "No, you tell me why." And that's the question I'm leaving with us this week. That's the question I want us all to take home. We see how Abraham over 25 years has been following the Lord. We see how he's been struggling with it. But he still has faith, even when he questions, even when he doubts. He still has faith. He still believes God is the Lord of all the universe, that God is the Lord of all. The question for us this week, because I know too many people who say, "Once I get my life straight, once I get my act straight, I'll start following the Lord." I know too many people that say that, and all they have to do is read the Bible and realize no one has their life straight. No one has their act together except for Jesus. We just need to be ready to serve. We need to be ready to follow him. And we can only truly follow Jesus if we truly trust that he has our best interests at mind, at hand. So would you pray with me? Oh, Lord, we come together this morning seeking your will, trying to learn more about you because we desire to be more like you, God. We ask that you encourage us in areas where we feel, you know, where we question you, Lord. We ask that you give us the insight, that you draw us near to you, that you give us the relationships we need to grow closer to you, Lord. But we also ask that you use us, that you send us out to be a light to our community, to our families, Lord. Only you can do that. Thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.